Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. These are God's words. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more, the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So three things about the demonstration of God's love in himself coming in the person of his Son to die for our sins. One is that it is amazing. The second is that it is assuring. And the third is that it is abounding. In the first place, it's amazing. It's so amazing that the papists can't swallow it. They say that God saves those who show some promise by what they do, that there is not justification until you have shown some godliness. But earlier in chapter 4 and verse 5, the apostle said, to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. And now in our passage, in chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And this is where the amazingness of the love comes in. It says, for a righteous man, scarcely would anyone die. For a good man, maybe someone might die, might even dare to die. But this is for the ungodly, while we were still sinners. And it's not just someone. It is Christ, God the Son. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see the argument being made here for how amazing it is because of for whom he died and who it was who did the dying. And so Christ has died for the ungodly. Christ's, God's love in Christ dying for sinners is amazing. In the second place, it's assuring. In verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. So we were ungodly sinners, and God gave his Son in love to die for us. Now that we have been made right with him, justified by that blood of his death, we have moved from ungodly sinners to right with God. And if he did that for us when we were not yet justified, how much more will he complete our salvation now that we have been justified? Verse 10, if he did that for us when we were his enemies, how much more will he complete our salvation? Will we be saved now by his life when we're not enemies, but we have been reconciled? If he did that for us when we were rejoicing in ourselves and rejoicing in our sins, how much more, verse 11, will he complete our salvation now that he has reconciled us and made us to rejoice in God? And so God's love for us in giving Christ to die for us while we were sinners is so far amazing and assuring and in the last place abounding. Now, the sin of Adam abounded. His children did not have the opportunity to eat the fruit. They did not commit the particular transgression that was the written terms or the established terms of that covenant. And yet, we who were in Adam sinned in him, and the death that was threatened against Adam, if he should eat the fruit, and the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And he says, verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Okay, so when Moses comes, and there's a law that is given that is the written terms, or the established terms, agreed upon terms of a new covenant, there are blessings for the keeping of that and curses for the breaking of that. But between Adam and Moses, did people live forever? No, they died. They had the penalty of the breaking of the covenant, whose terms was, do not eat the forbidden fruit. they had that penalty inflicted upon them. Had they eaten the forbidden fruit? It's a theological trick question, isn't it? Yes, they had. In their representative, Adam. And so he's saying, don't you see how the death of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, this greatest act of obedience that ever there was, is counted for all of those who are in Jesus as the last Adam? You thought death abounded from Adam to those who were in him? Life abounds so much more to all who are in Jesus. Grace abounds so much more to those who are in Jesus. Righteousness abounds so much more to those who are in Jesus. He paid for a multitude of sins on the cross, and he has offered a multitude of perfect obedience, including and even that one great righteous and obedient act on the cross. And therefore, it was God the Son, the Lord Jesus, who did it. So, how much more does the life and righteousness and grace of the Lord Jesus abound to us in his death than Adam's death abounded to us in his sin? So in these 16 verses, the Lord shows us that the demonstration of his love in sending his Son and coming in the person of his Son to die for our sins is amazing, assuring, and abounding. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that these my children would be amazed at your love for them, that each one would see how much you have loved her or loved him, and be amazed at it and be assured by it, knowing that this great act of love came even before they were right with you. And that having come to believe in you and be joined to Christ in his death and resurrection and be made right with you and reconciled, that they can be that much more sure about what is in the future in your saving them, even than they are in that which was in the past. And, O Lord, make them to see how your life, your righteousness, your grace, your strength abounds to them in Jesus Christ. That the way that they came into needing his sacrifice was so much more smaller than him and what he has done, who offered that sacrifice. So give them confidence and make them to know the unlimited resources of the life and righteousness and strength and goodness of Jesus for them and in them by your Holy Spirit. Make us, Lord, to appropriate the glorious truths of this passage, each of us for our own self in Jesus, in whose name we ask it. Amen.